What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Don't take women serious. The downfall of many great men wasn't poverty, it was a woman. You see, the greatest risk a man can ever take in this life is to build his entire existence around a woman. That's like building a castle on shifting sand. Beautiful for a moment, but guaranteed to collapse. Women should never be first on your list. Your top five priorities should be: 1, yourself. 2, your peace of mind. 3, your purpose. 4, your money and comfort. 5, then and only then, women. Because the moment you start worshipping women, you stop honoring yourself. And when a man abandons his mission for emotion, the universe punishes him. Even the scripture said, she gave him the fruit and he did eat. That was the birth of manipulation, the psychological power of temptation. Women are not evil, but they are unpredictable by design. The same softness that melts your heart can be the same softness that destroys your focus. So treat them right, but never build your throne around their mood. Don't trust women. Trust your ability to handle their disappointment. Be wise. Be unbreakable. And remember, Adam fell for love, but kings rise from love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and you're here for another edition of Philly Fridays. And you already know you can't leave. All right? And if I have to remind you, I have no problem. Low hell, holding it down. All right? Now, one of the things that, he says a little too low there. I need to hear that little something. we're going to go through the debt today is, once again, Philly Fridays. All right. FetLifeStation.com. And y'all listening to us, if you're not listening to us on FetLife, then you can only be listening to us on the True Stories Podcast Network. The True Stories Podcast Network. And you can find us on most of your mobilizing streaming networks. And check out what we got going on. You know, and I want to thank my brothers, from the previous week. My brother Patrick and my brother Joseph for jumping on and having that conversation about manhood and masculinity. I definitely think it's a conversation, a topic that we need to talk about and focus specifically as men, talking about gatekeeping. And I want y'all to pay attention to this right here, because this has a lot to do with manhood. Now, I want y'all to peep the theme. This is from the Avengers series. This is from the Avengers series, that just played out in Marvel Comics. I guess they call it the MCU. I want y'all to check this out. This is just a piece somebody put together about Thanos. Okay. Anybody don't know who Thanos is? He was considered the Mad Titan. And he had a... I'm just going to let him tell you what he has to say.
Tell me his name again.
Thanos. He's a plague, Tony. He invades planets. He takes what he wants. He wipes out half the population. He sent Loki. The attack on New York. That's him.
The entire time I knew Thanos, he only ever had one goal. To bring balance to the universe by wiping out half of all life.
Perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
This universe is finite, its resources finite. If life is left unchecked, life will cease to exist. It needs correction.
You don't know that!
I'm the only one who knows that. At least I'm the only one with the will to act on it.
But I ask you, to what end? Dread it? Run from it? Destiny arrives all the same.
You could not live with your own failure. Where did that bring you? Back to me. In all my years of conquest, violence, slaughter, it was never personal. I know what it's like to lose. Feel so desperately that you're right, yet to fail nonetheless.
This is your future.
It's my destiny. But I'll tell you now, what I'm about to do to your stubborn, annoying little planet, I'm gonna enjoy it very, very much. Its alternative is death. With all six stones, I could simply snap my fingers. They would all cease to exist. I call that mercy. The hardest choices require the strongest wills.
That's what you get, right? And gentlemen, this one's for you. You know, if you heard what just took place, the exchange, out of all the voices that you heard in that montage that was put together so eloquently, by the way, you know, this was really a conversation between the men with the two strongest wills. You had Thanos, and you had Tony Stark, aka Iron Man. And let's think about it for a second. Of all the Avengers, that took the stage in this Marvel comic series that made it to the movie, some of it played on as TV shows, streaming on, you know, Disney. All these people, all these cats had superpowers. The only two that really didn't have superpowers was Thanos and Tony Stark. Now, Thanos was incredibly powerful, and he was a powerful being. warrior, warlord, warrior. But you look at the Avengers, you had the Incredible Hulk, right? Bruce Banner, when he got mad, turned green, turns into Incredible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk got his ass whooped so bad by Thanos that when it came time for Bruce Banner to summon the Hulk again, the Hulk was like, hell no. Captain America was a man, people don't know, like, if you know the comic series, the Incredible Hulk, like, when Bruce Banner tried, he was literally trying to do the Captain American serum, right? But there was an accident with gamma rays, and that's how he became the Hulk. But Captain America was a superhuman, with the best part to him put together in the lab. Now, he had the will. I'm not going to say the will. But he didn't have the will, the fortitude to stand up to the Mad Titan. All the other heroes had incredible powers, but Thanos only saw Tony Stark as his adversary. In fact, he actually acknowledged it. You know, in one of the scenes. And fellas, so I ask you, you know, you heard the first clip. Never make a woman your priority. And I think that at this point in time, if we still have to go through that, and when I think that, you know, we're so far back. So much further back than I thought we'd be at this point. You got when you talk about creating priorities and making things your priority, your purpose has to be your priority. Now, the gentleman, you know, he used the term universe. I always say God, because who made the universe but God? And you can use your own special language to say whatever you want. But there is a higher power out there. So much of science that's going on, so much that scientifically cannot be explained in that same said universe. But I was on point with the rest of his message. And I think that a lot of us don't really understand. We don't understand as men, you know, our real purpose in life. We're not just brought here to the party, this, that, and the other. As men, you're supposed to be a franchise. But the world is a tough place, right? James Brown said it's a man's world. A lot of things come with that. Responsibility, integrity, accountability, self-respect, being responsible, you know, carrying yourself in a dignified manner, and being a builder of nations. But the world is always at war with you. It's always at war with you, especially if you're a black man. So the question I have to ask you is, do you have the will? Do you have the will, black man? Listen, you want to know how hard it is to be a man? Check out this next clip, man. Check out this next clip. Check this out. Hold on.
There was a woman that wanted to find out what it was actually like to live as a man, and what she reported should wake all of you up. She cut her hair, she lowered her voice, and she lived as Ned for over a year. And what happened to her is the part that most people don't like hearing. After the experiment, She had a severe depressive breakdown and she checked herself into a psychiatric facility. Years later, she chose medically assisted in Switzerland. Her name was Nora Vincent. These are the harsh realities that she said men endure. Number one, dating is a gauntlet. As a woman, you naturally get approached. As a man, you do the approaching. You risk rejection every single time. You risk being humiliated every single time. And she literally was stunned by how cold women could be to men that they weren't interested in. She said being a man felt like you're guilty until proven innocent, boring until proven valuable. You don't get any grace. You get tested. Number two, men live in an emotional straitjacket. If a man shows real pain, people get uncomfortable. He's told to man up. He gets looked at differently, even by women who say they want a sensitive man. She said it felt like a man's value wasn't who he was naturally. It was what he could do, what he could provide, and what he could endure. Number three, invisibility. Unless a man is high status or extremely attractive, he's background noise. He gets no compliments, no smiles, and no validation at all. Not like the women, nothing. And on top of that, she literally felt the constant pressure of being seen as a threat, a creep, just for existing in public. Imagine walking around feeling like you're automatically suspicious. That messes with your head. Number four, male hierarchy is real. Men test each other. Confidence, dominance, and their boundaries. If you don't push back, you get eaten alive. You get bullied, and then you get disrespected. Some men learn to harden up because that's how you survive in male spaces. Number five, the silent loneliness. This was the one that ended up crushing her. She said that men suffer in silence. They don't talk because deep down they believe something horrible. Nobody actually wants to hear it, so they isolate themselves. They bond around just activities, work, sports, projects. But when it comes to real emotional support, many men have none. And she described that as emotional malnutrition, a form of starvation that most people never even notice. These are her last words. Men are suffering. They have different problems than women have, but they are not better off. They need our help. They need our love. And they need each other more than anything else. Rest in peace, Nora.
And what more has to be said? That's what it, and that was just 1 year. Nora Vincent, and this like was like 20 years ago. She decided that she was going to see what life was, and she was going to wear the shoes of a man. So she, you know, got dressed every day, put on disguises. She disguised herself as a man. And just the experiences of being a man for a year was so much. She tried for years to rationalize just how hard it was to be a man in this world after being a woman all her life. To the point where she eventually committed medically assisted suicide. Fellas, and I know we go through it. That's what men are, though. Men are the rock. Men are the foundation. And as a man, you set the standard for what society is supposed to be. You don't bend to its will. It's your will that bends the world into your design. So do you have the will? Do you have the will? You know, I will say that there's some fellas, you know, unfortunately, and we struggle with brotherhood. We struggle for brotherhood, right? Here's an example of struggling with brotherhood. And I know this brother. I can't remember his name, but I know this brother. I met him through some Mississippi folk, but this is a brother from New York. He's right now, he's on 100, in this particular clip, he's on 125th Street. Shout out to my good brother, Sinetta. He's out on 125th Street. Check this out.
Talking to a young soldier, okay? And I meant what I said. We're so fucked up, God can't help us. If you choose to be an asshole, God doesn't tamper with that. That's what's happening in the black community. You can't even speak to black women. They act like they've lost their fucking minds. Some brothers act the same damn way. I almost had to fight a brother one morning on the train because I said good morning. Now, that was truly off the track for me. To have to fight your own people because you said good morning. Now, the brother went off the deep end and was standing up me, post up ready to fight. I said, brother, that's what I thought to myself. I don't want to kill my own brother, okay? On public transportation because there's witnesses everywhere. Now I got to go to jail for a damn fool. So what I did was gave him complete control. I said, okay, brother, I'm kind of stupid. Can you help me? He goes, what? I said, okay, please help me understand how my acknowledging your humanity is offensive. He threw his head up to think you could see the dust flying out of his fucking ears. Yeah, and the judge thought so fucking long. He threw his head back to think for about 10 seconds. He couldn't come up with nothing. He leveled back off and went, fuck you, nigga, and walked off. Now, everybody looking at me like, wow. What happened? And I'm going, wow. Hell if I know. Okay, all I knew is if you give a damn fool control, okay, he doesn't know how to handle it. Hopefully he'll do what he did, but in most cases, they want to spring on you, as they say, or bust your jaw. Oh, this is what the problem is with us. We don't know how to resolve simple situations. As I said, nobody ever taught black folks how to think. They told you what to think, and most of us don't like responsibility. Talking to
oh, I got to give him another one. Listen. You know, and you got to ask the question, right? Because that's how, you know, unfortunately, when it comes to the threshold of manhood, not every male qualifies. And it's come a time when we have to start gatekeeping this term called manhood. Because as of right now, we could talk about the women all day long. But brothers, when are we going to really get ourselves together? And I'm saying this because I talk to brothers. I talk to brothers more than I talk to the women these days. It used to be a time when I talked to women a lot more than men. But, you know, that's why I sort of have a full-rounded view. You know, it goes full circle when it comes to the viewpoints because I've talked to both. But brothers, so many of us are delusional too. So many of us are so far out there. And we want to widen the qualifications, diversify the different many roles of what it takes to be masculine and being a masculine man, because you can't really be a man unless you're masculine, in my opinion. You really have to think about how far this goes. And for far too many of us, we're not able to be consistent. Because then we have brothers, you know, that go through things like this brother. Hold on.
Sometimes that friend that you call brother or sister is secretly hating on you. I had a homeboy since middle school. I considered him a day one. Everybody around me told me that he was jealous. My real day ones didn't like him. My sister didn't like him. My brothers didn't like him. But I defended him because when I call you my friend, I call you my brother. I ignored his backhanded jokes, slick compliments about my skin color, little shots disguised as humor. I felt it, but I just stayed loyal. Then we got older. He had a crush on this girl that we both know since school, but she liked me. I ain't chase her. She chose me. So one day, I'm laying up with her. He calls her phone. So she says, watch this. She answers the call and put him on speaker. First thing he does after a little small talk, he says, have you heard from Roger? Not how are you? Not what you doing? He brings my name up. Then he tells her, you know he got a wife, right? At this time, I was separated. going through a divorce, trying to expose something that wasn't even his business, and he didn't know that me and her had a mutual understanding. That's when it clicked. Every conversation that he had with her, he brought me up. That wasn't no friendship. That was a form of obsession. That was comparison, jealousy. I realized something heavy that day. Some people stay close to you not because they love you, but because they are studying you. Not too long after that, I cut him off. And honestly, it wasn't easy. I went by myself and cried. Not in front of him, but to myself. Because when I call you my friend, I mean that. Once I cut him off, no more sly energy, no more fake laughs, no more subtle complimenting. I felt like I removed a weight off my chest. Here's the lesson. You can't save insecure people. You can't heal jealous people. And if you keep them around, the insecurity gonna slowly poison your life. Sometimes growth requires some grief. Sometimes elevation requires some separation. And before you cut somebody off, just make sure that you're not that insecure friend in somebody else's story. But if you know you're not, cut that fat. Go on, get rid of it, man. Peace feels better than loyalty to the wrong people.
Y'all know I had that one. But, and I've dealt with that too. Dealing with people who are disloyal. First of all, neither the girl or the guy was loyal to him, because if she knew enough to let him hear, you know, his so-called man on speakerphone talking greasy about him, that wasn't the first time he did it. Why wasn't he notified the first time it happened? You know, that's not loyalty either. So I hope he got rid of both of them, because you can't trust neither one of them. But we also have to have the will to walk away from that too. And sometimes this separation is necessary, because we're not all on the same path as men. And what'll happen is people will hitch their wagon to you, to your momentum. They see you moving forward. They see you making moves. They see you elevating. They see you getting, you know, you're making progress in your life. You're getting projects done. You're elevating in status, if that's what you choose to do. They see that. And like I said before, man, misery, people say misery loves company. I don't think misery loves company. Misery wants to steal your happiness. It wants to snatch your happiness. That's what misery wants. People who are miserable wants to steal, they want to steal your joy. And unfortunately, we live in a world of miserable people, miserable, delusional people, people who their eyes are starving. They want to be celebrities out here in the world. They go home and they have these delusions of grandeur where they become legends in their own minds. And they don't care who they have to step over to get to where they want to get to in life. And they don't have the foresight to see how bad things can be. And they end up creating chaos, not in just their world, in your world. And oftentimes we're way too loyal to people, circumstances, and situations that were never loyal to us. But it comes back to the will. You gotta have the will. And it's hard. Check this out, right? I want you to listen to these brothers, these young brothers from Chicago, right? Y'all have heard of the gangs and the drill rappers. These are some of the brothers. These are some of the brothers that shaped and formed drill music. In fact, the first one is Chief Keef. He was the one that really made drill music international phenomenon. He was the first one. Signed a big contract. Had a song called This Is Who I Don't Like. And from there on out, it just got crazy after that. But check this out.
You lost a lot of friends to violence, huh?
Uh-huh.
Mention some of the names that you've lost to violence.
My cousin, Bud, my brother, Cap, Capo, Marvin, OD, White White, Platoon, Keita, Lil Mo. There's a lot of guys.
How many homies you lost?
A lot.
What's a lot? Number?
Seven. Eight. I got six of them on my chest, and I got recently. Lost a few.
How many people would you say have been, you know,
I done seen well over 1,000 people dead.
Dang.
Like, in real life, like.
How many of your friends do you think you lost to violence? You know?
Like 20.
20 friends?
Yeah, like 20.
Not 20 people you knew, 20 actual friends.
Yeah, 20, 30 people.
All the friends that I lost to violence, if I would count, it'd be like 20, probably more.
You lost.
And, you know, this is the those, you know, who did you hear? Chief Keef, King Von. You heard one of their nemesis out there, they had the ops. So you had somebody from a rival gang. His name was Butter. Then you had Lil Durk. Lil Durk was the one that said 2030. All right. Then you had another rapper from another part of Chicago. They said over 20. All right. So I think his name is G Herbo. And what's crazy is it's a cycle. If you would have asked me when I turned 20, I could have given you a similar list. Growing up in North Philadelphia, growing up in the heart of the crack cocaine era, seeing families decimated, seeing people you respected one day, now they're real thin and they'll do anything for a rock. I don't think we, you know, because I'm talking about the will. And a lot of times we've been through so much that is normal. The chaos, the dysfunction is normal. Because there's also some grace that needs to be handled with that. And, you know, I get into it with my brothers, man. I love my brothers, man. But, you know, a lot of times we get into it because, you know, that when they look at it, they're like, yo, man, the brothers just need to step up and do A, B, and C. And I'm like, a lot of brothers were never taught the core principles of what it takes to be manly, being masculine, to just be responsible. And so we fuck around and tell them to go ahead and be manly, and these dudes will crash out. These dudes will crash out. You know, there's a lot of pain involved in it, because a lot of times men are loyal to the wrong things. Like, hold on. Like,
what more do you want from me?
A lot of people laughed when they saw that clip from Tyrese, but that was a man that put his all. He was the loyal brother. He was loyal to a lot, you know, to several women, and they dogged him. That man cried out in pain. And as men, we didn't have his back. We thought it was cute to laugh at him, which spoke to our insecurities. Because deep down inside, every man has been there. Whether you cried in public, whether you cried in a phone booth, in your bathroom, whether you screamed into your pillow. Every man that's worth a damn has been there. And nobody's going to pull you back up. you're not going to find too many people that's going to pull you back up. What you're going to find is people that want you to be okay. They need you to be okay. Because they need you to be okay, because an okay version of you solves their problems. You're available for when they need you. So they need to fix you. So you get the, oh yeah, you good though, right? You done been through some things, but you good though, right? And you know, I'm all right. But we're not all right. But at that moment, you know that being vulnerable as men is dangerous. Because most people aren't strong enough to handle a man's vulnerabilities. Most people are not strong. I'm not saying people, because I don't know too many people that a man can be vulnerable with. I got brothers who talk regularly, groups and all those different things. And even in those groups, they still got peacocks. In a place where you get to lay down your shield, you got peacocks. And their egos, even though I rest my ego at the door, I don't speak on my accolades. I don't speak on, whatever celebrity that I can actually lend to my persona. I don't speak on those things. I don't brag on those things, because I'm not there to be in that capacity. But it's frustrating, because what it tells me is that brothers, black men, we're so damaged that we can't even see through our own bullshit sometimes. And it pains me to say these things out loud, because I know other people will hear my words and weaponize them against us. See, we told y'all black men ain't this. We told y'all black men ain't that. No, this ain't about that. A lot of these men are still better than their counterparts. But we're still not whole. We're fractured. It's amazing we're still standing, considering all the things we've been through. And I understand it. But they understand something else. The enemy has drawn no quarter. The world is changing around us. We are seeing the end of global white supremacy before our faces. We're about to see a dramatic breakdown in society. And we're about to see, we're really about to see what the world is like when we get to these times. Hold up. We're about to see this version of the world right here.
I had a conversation with a friend one day, and we was talking about family and life, and I asked him, how do you see your kid's future? And he said to me, my grandfather walked 10 miles to work every day. My father walked 5. I'm driving a Cadillac. My son is in a Mercedes. Said my grandson will be in a Ferrari. But he said my great-grandson will be walking again. So I asked him, I said, well, why is that? And he said to me, tough times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create tough times. He said to me, many will not understand, but you have to raise warriors. That's what Coach instilled in me, and so many like me. The strength and courage of a warrior.
And that was Aaron McKee talking about his basketball coach, high school basketball, I mean college basketball coach, Temple University legend, John Chaney, who turned out men at his program. That was his funeral that he was speaking at. We have to get to that point. And I hate that damn music, those overlays that they play. I hate them because it really takes away from the power of his message. But what he talked about was real. We have to create warriors. Now, the crazy part is most men are not strong enough or have enough courage to have the introspective look at oneself, to have that hard look in the mirror and see that if they qualify, if they don't qualify to be a man. And they try to expand the definition of what a man is so that there's a category that accepts all their flaws, all their weaknesses, all their shortcomings. But how can we judge that when we really don't have a standard? What's our standard? Far too many people, it's your bankroll. That, especially down in the hood, in our community, that's how your value is determined. How well you're doing. How nice is his house? Does he own the house? Oh, he rents an apartment. Okay. At least what kind of car is he driving? All right. Well, is he out here? You know, what kind of women is he with? Oh, all right. That nigga can't tell me shit. You know, that, and that's how we move. We're too impressionable with you know, the glamour. We're too impressionable with the shiny things. But everything that glitters ain't gold. When are we gonna focus on important things? You know, I mean, you know, me and my brothers, we were talking about black men and their health. Actually going to the doctors. Actually realizing how responsible we need to be for those who do depend on us. And many of us are dying early. At a young age, we got so many of us perishing, going the wrong way. Shit, it was almost me. And you know, I didn't even realize how bad my situation was. I was one day away from not being here anymore. And many of us don't know the time nor the hour. That part is true. But it was almost me. And I preach health from brothers all the time. And one almost slipped past me. One almost slipped past the goalie. So in conjunction with our will, we can't be foolish. So what am I saying? Seeing we have to have the will. Change the world. One step at a time, if that's what it takes. Change your environment. Press upon changing your house and your community. But you also have to give grace to one another. Because we've been through some things. And as black men, we have an experience that nobody else can mimic, understand, or interpret. Our experiences have been so bad, so rough, that a lot of us shy away from how bad and terrible it really was. But you also have to have, you know, you also have to have your health as well. You know, so moving forward, you know, brothers, those are things that we can focus on. All right, those are things we can focus on. Because this is how you want people to think about you. And I, you know, all, you know, the gaze of a man, the gaze through a woman's eye does not determine what a man is. But this is important. This type of distinguishment. Just listen.
Girls think that they want to date a high value man until he starts calling you out for not taking responsibility, before he starts holding you accountable, before he has higher standards for you than you have for yourself. Everyone talks about, oh, date a high value man. And so this is what you do to have to attract a high value man. But I've never heard anyone talk about, like, actually dating a high value man takes a totally different kind of woman. It's not for the weak. I have other friends who are dating, like, very loving, very successful, perfectionist, ambitious men, and it is not for the weak.
Girls think that they want to date.
I almost had to let y'all hear that twice. You shouldn't be for the weak. You should walk in the room, and sometimes just you being there should intimidate weaker people. Your presence. Now be careful, because some folk will try to eliminate you just because they're intimidated by your passion, by your strength, by the way you move. Some people will move. Yeah, some people will. They'll definitely, you know, they'll definitely move in terms of and try to get you rerouted. They'll try to backdoor you. They'll never truly come towards you, you know, head up. I've dealt with that too. I've had to take on entire institutions. So you're taking on entire institutions. You know, you kind of understand how it goes. You know what I'm saying? And so I know a lot of times I talk crazy on here. I talk about some things that, sorry about that. Things that, you know, I mean, we have a good time on the show. But this is a conversation, you know, that's near and dear. And, you know, it might shock y'all, but I actually freestyled this one. You know, I'm tired of being tired in a lot of ways. It's exhausting to try to be a parent to adults And what I mean by that is always in a situation where they're sort of like leaning on your emotional intelligence, needing your guidance, and then they seem to refuse to mature. The arrested development that so many of us are facing, it's impaling. And I'm looking at it, and I'm able to sort of peer forward a little bit. And we keep talking metaphorically, about winter being here. And it's a play off the Game of Thrones, where they're talking about, you know, the weather getting cold and how long the winters are wherever they are, wherever their world is. But this winter we're about to face, I know the weather's changing. It's nice outside. I was outside in a t-shirt earlier. It's nice outside now. But we're about to face a storm. Not just a regular storm. We're about to face a storm, the likeness of when the world froze over. An ice age type of storm. That's the type of winter we're approaching. We're already like in the early stages of it. Like, it's already here. And a lot of us can't see past our own bullshit to even be prepared. Psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, physically, for the daunting task that's ahead of us. We're about to see all the historical things that, all the things in biblical times, we're about to see a lot of that stuff right now. You're about to see, you know, prayerfully it doesn't get as bad as it looks. If we're talking the potential of bank holidays, we're talking about the demonetization of our currency. We're talking about inflation like you wouldn't believe. There was an old picture in World War I where this, the Russians, they had this thing called, their monetary system is called the ruble. And a lady was pushing a barrel full of rubles. A barrel, like one of those push cart barrels. And exchanging it for a loaf of bread. We really don't see, we don't live where certain people live in the world. You know, we have two great bodies of water that separate us from any real global dangers. Other than a nuclear strike, there's not much that can be done that we'll see. And COVID should have been a wake-up call, but whatever it is, we have very short memories. 2008, 2007, 2008 stock market crash should have been a wake-up call. But like I said, we have short memories. We really don't realize how bad things can get. Like, COVID shut the world down. And for real, wasn't even that long. It was for 3 months. But that particular event changed the world. When you came back outside, there was infrastructure that was out there that you didn't even see. A lot of things got built and put in place. I know I was outside when they was building it. See, I didn't go inside. I wasn't wearing a mask. And I think I defeated COVID 3 times. No pharmaceutical medication. Not that it was needed for anybody to. But we should have learned a lot from those lockdowns. We should have learned how vulnerable we are. So for a lot of the kamikaze things I see people thinking of and moving ways they're moving right now, it's disturbing to me. Because it's like you always think no matter what happens, the nanny state will take care of you. Maybe y'all haven't been paying attention, but the nanny state has been cutting loose a lot of people. It's been clipping the umbilical cord. It's been shredding the tether. A lot of people lost jobs last year. In the black community, over 1 million people. We talked about the women. But shout out to Dr. Tia Sine Johnson and good elder BGS. Bringing it down, black men lost damn near twice as many jobs as black women. Nobody gives a damn. Your man, suck it up. This is a rough road to row. But if you have the intestinal fortitude for it, if you have the will, if you have the ability to be accountable, responsible, have integrity, have self-respect, operate in a dignified manner. Well, brother, you just may cross into the threshold of manhood. So, excuse me, got all the way to the end of the show to start coughing. So there it is. Let me take a sip real quick. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and pulling up for another episode of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. As I always say, family, protect yourself. And war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.